Hello. Very good. It's good to see you this morning. And to that, all I have to say is tadow. So for those of you that speak Snoop Dogg, I'm glad to see you this morning. I'm really glad that you're here. We are embarking on something as a church beginning this weekend that I really feel in all of my heart. This is something that God has led us to do and that God wants to do something really huge through it. And I cannot. And I know that you hear people beg you to do things from time to time. I try not to beg you to do too much too often. But I beg you to be a part of this as much as you possibly can. And one of the ways that you can do that is not just being here during the series on Sunday mornings, but also being a part of a home team. After the service today, you'll see home teams. They'll be talking about all that. But we are doing a study that is kind of coinciding with this message series as home teams. So they will be even going deeper with things that we're going to be talking about here on Sunday mornings. The subject of God is a big subject. And it's one of those that, I find myself kind of going, I don't know if I really want to teach about that. Because it's so huge. And there's so much to it. And there's just so much that I fear for leaving out. And truthfully, we won't cover everything. But we're going to cover a lot of stuff over the next several weeks. This is going to be a little bit longer series than normal. And I really think this is going to be an incredible thing for all of us. I'd love to just pray for us just right now and just kind of open our hearts to what's going on. In fact, I just want to just kind of put this out there for you too. The last several weeks, if you have not figured it out, have been kind of preparation for this happening. And the biggest part of that was just making sure that our hearts were right, that we were repentant about the things that we've done wrong, and that we were just getting right before God. And so maybe just even this morning, maybe you're here, maybe it's just even you kind of realize and recognize, oh my gosh, we're kind of, falling backwards a little bit in the last several weeks. This has kind of been going on. And maybe you just need to kind of get before the Lord and just kind of confess some things or whatever. And so I want to just take just a second for us to just pray and just get right before Him. So let's just pray together right now, okay? God, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. And God, I just pray, Lord, that we as individuals, God, I pray, Lord, that I would just come to you with the right heart. God, I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, just recognize the stuff that's going on in my life that I've done wrong against you. God, that I just want to confess it to you right now in my heart. And God, at the same time, God, I just ask that you would create in me a pure heart and a steadfast spirit. God, we need that steadfast spirit to make it through what you've called us to do, because what you've called us to do is not easy. It's not easy for us to serve. It's not easy for us to work for you. It is not easy for us to just live for you on a daily basis at home, at the office, wherever it's at. But God, that's what you've called us to. And God, just give us that steadfast spirit. This morning, God, just show us a little bit about who you are and who you're not. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this time together. In your name I pray. Amen. I want to just begin this morning, just kind of throw this out there, and I want you just to kind of think for just a second. If I was able to give you, a little piece of scratch paper this morning and just say, hey, I want you to jot down who you think God is and what He's like. I want you just to jot that down. What would be on that? I want you just to kind of think about that for a second. What would you write about God? What would you put on that little piece of paper? And I'm not talking about, forget the Sunday school answers. Just be honest, Who's God? Who's God to you? And for, all of us in the room, the truth is that we all have some different views of who God is. And the truth be known is that for many of us, whether you grew up in church or not, or, let's say you never went to church at all, whichever end of the spectrum that you came from, you've gotten some views of God, some of them good, some of them very bad. And I want to go over something with us this morning, because this is probably one of the most important things that I will ever teach to you about. And it's that what we think about God is the most important thing about ourselves. That's a quote from a guy by the name of A.W. Tozer. He is long gone and has passed away many years ago. But he has written some of the greatest works about studying on the person of God and who God is. And one of the things that he was just trying to hammer down with folks is for them to understand that the most important thing about our life is what we think about when we think about God. That's a big statement to make. The most important thing about ourselves, Chris, are you sure? Because there's a lot of important things going on in my life right now. I'm pretty sure. We're going to talk about that. I want to just kind of camp out on this concept and this idea, and we're going to get back to that, but I want to camp out on this concept and idea of kind of what we think about God, and I want to help us to see something this morning, and that's that most of us in here typically are great about building our concept of who God is based upon our experience in life. And I want to just kind of talk about some of these for just a few minutes, because the truth be known, that's not necessarily a very healthy thing to do, and we've got a lot of misconceptions about God. In fact, if you don't mind, I brought a little hat today that I'm going to wear while we're talking about this. And that's because the first thing that I want to talk to you about is the Santa Claus God. Okay? Many of us have this concept of God is like Santa Claus. And this Santa Claus God could also be known as the talent show judge God, like the Simon Cowell God, that basically we're going to be rewarded based upon our performance. And then our concept of God is all based around this whole, like, you know, be good for goodness sakes, otherwise you get no presents. You know what I'm talking about? And we've got, some of us have this concept of God as being like a Santa Claus God. There are others, several others. There's the whatever we want him to be God. And you know, this kind of, you probably know people that know this God, and they kind of have this God going on. And it's, you know, the people that say, well, okay, your God's Jesus, that's great. Well, my God's this. You know, I'm cool with just, anybody's God is just whatever they want it to be. You know, it's that guy, okay, cool. It's you, okay, great. Well, you know, because they're all just the same. And that's just the whoever you want him to be God. He's the politically correct God. We're not going to hurt anybody's feelings, God. Not the real God. The flower power God, if you will. And the flower power God is the God that just kind of, you know, he's not really worried about anything. He's just kind of going with the flow. He's like, hey, man. He's like the Cheech and Chong God. He's just, you know, he's like, hey. I'm not insinuating anything that God would do, you know, like Cheech and Chong. I'm just saying acts that way a little bit. You know, but, you know, it's this conception of, you know, that God is just this guy who's just like, man, he's not worried about anything. And he's just A-okay God. There's the, you know, you got to love this one. There's the big judgment day God, or otherwise known as the dictator God. This is kind of similar to the Greek mythology stuff, but, you know, basically, this God is the God that he's just like waiting around for us to mess up. And he's just going, man, I can't wait for Danny to mess up. Because when Danny messes up, I'm going to lower the boom on him. And he's going to get it. This is going to be awesome. And me and all the angels, we're just going to party. You know, it's like going to be so great. Because, you know, everybody's going to see my wrath. Because I'm the dictator God, and I'm just angry with the world. And, you know, if this is your concept of God, you're probably at this point right now of like your little note card or your little scratch piece of paper that you're going to write this down on. You're going, you know, well, God's kind of angry at me, and I'm not real sure why. But a lot of people think about God that way. Then you've got the no God God, and that's basically all the people that say, well, I don't believe in God, but they, you know, say, I don't believe in God, but I'm saying God, and kind of henceforth, you know, they're kind of contradicting themselves because they're saying that there is a God by saying that they don't believe in God, and I won't go too much further into that, but you kind of know where that's going. And then there's the needy God, and the needy God is like the boyfriend that's like a little puppy that follows you everywhere. And he's like the needy guy. He's like, oh, don't run away from me. I'm going to follow after you, you know. And you know, and it's this idea that God is like not happy unless we're hanging out with him and we're doing exactly what he wants us to do 24/7. Needy God. You got the distant God. And the distant God is, you know, and we probably know people. I know people. I could name one person right now to you. In fact, if you pay me money after service, I'll tell you who it is. I'm just kidding. The distant God is, you know, the God that's like, people are like, oh, you know, I know that there's got to be a God. I know that he's out there. But, I mean, you know, he's so far away. I mean, he's just like, he's way out there. And, you know, he's so busy. I mean, truthfully, I mean, he didn't really care about what's going on with me. I mean, gosh, I mean, I'm, you know, my life is so, you know, pitiful, you know, compared to the other big things that are going on in this world. He's not really concerned with me. That's the distant God. And then probably my favorite out of all, and this is the one that for church people in here, I'm afraid we could even still be, if we're not careful, we could still be guilty of even teaching our children this. And this is really not a healthy thing to teach our kids this. But as you were a kid, if you grew up in church and you when you were a kid, then you were probably taught about the old man God. And you know, kind of the old man or the grandpa God. And old man or grandpa God is, you know, the God that basically, you know, he's just old, you know? And he's just kind of like, well, I guess that's all right. And, you know, he doesn't get real loud, and he doesn't like loud noises, and, you know, he's just kind of like, oh, you know, we're just getting by over here, and, you know, it's been good, you know, kind of hanging out for a little while, but, you know, it's kind of this idea that, you know, you see, like, the parents with, like, the kid that's being bad, and they've gone long beyond the, you know, count to 1, 2, 3 thing. And, you know, it's like, you know, the parents, like, everybody else in the crowd's like, you know, please, would you please just shut the kid up, you know, or something. And, you know, and the kid's like, ah, you know, and the parents are like, I'm counting to 1, counting to 2. You're in God's house. And it's like, you know, please don't put that one on God, because, you know, number one, let God speak for himself. But number two, you know, God doesn't care how loud we are. In fact, he probably likes it when we just kind of give it all of our heart. Hence why we worship in the way we do a lot of times. You know, and even furthermore, it's like the whole idea of like, oh, you know, you definitely don't want to like startle God, because you might set his pacemaker off. You know, because we don't want that happening, because, man, you know, he's old, because golly, he's been around forever. And you know, he's got the miracle ear, and for heaven's sakes, you know, we definitely don't want to run in his house. Does that make sense to you? But, you know, that's our mindset. That's been our mindset. And it's been not true teaching, untrue teaching, false doctrine, if you will, that many of us have incurred, not because, you know, anybody meant to lead us astray or anything, but because they just didn't know any better. And I've been guilty of that over the years. And, you know, just kind of thinking through this, you know, it's like, Chris, you know, I get what you're getting at today. There's a lot of different views of who God is. And maybe mine's just a little bit skewed, but so what? So what? Let me ask you this question. If the most important thing in our lives today is what we think of when we think of God, where does that leave us? And I know you're probably thinking right now, well, why is that so important, Chris? Why is it so important what we think of when we think of God? This is why. We were made for him. We were made to worship him. We were created to do that thing. That was our main reason in existence. You may think right now that your main reason to exist is because of the job that you have, or because of the family that you have, and all these things. And God definitely has ordained some things in your life, no doubt. And no doubt he's given you some great opportunities, and you can recognize those things. But the bottom line is that we were made for him. And for so many of us, we're falling into a pitfall. You know, we can even kind of throw in another God here if you want to, and it's the God of just, you know, you're looking at him, God, and it's basically the lifestyle of it's all about me. And everything in my life is about me. And everything revolves around me, and if it doesn't have anything to do with me, then I'm not interested in it. Because how many of us truthfully, I mean, let's just be real honest this morning. How many of us just truthfully are super, super excited and super, super consumed about doing God's work? How many of us are super excited about taking care of the needy? It's not something that we just flock to. Instead, we just say, man, I'm just too busy for that stuff. And truth is that we are too busy with that stuff. We're too busy with the wrong stuff. You see, what we think about when we think about God impacts everything in our life. For so many of us, we've got these misconceptions of God. And, you know, the thing that I have seen, you know, over the years is one of those things is that, you know, people will come to church for a little while and they get kind of excited. Something happens, you kind of have like a mountaintop moment or whatever the deal is, and you know, they're like, oh yeah, gung-ho, I'm, you know, all about Jesus and everything. And I've seen this with teenagers for years, and I've seen teenagers that have grown up in church that become leaders in the church even, and they go away from school. They go away from home, they go away to school, and it's like they basically just kind of hang up, you know, their thoughts on God for an extended period of time. And I've kind of always been left going, why? Why is that? Why wouldn't that be like the best time in your life to just really seek after God and see what He wants for you? And I think it's because so many of us have such huge misconceptions about who God is. And when we don't know who God is, when we've got a bad misconception of God, I mean, what's our worship look like if we think God is Santa Claus? I mean, what's our worship supposed to look like if we're like thinking in our head, you know, he's old guy up there, he's just been there forever, you know, pacemaker's still kicking, you know, but you know, that's my God, and man, I'm still gonna worship him. What's our worship look like then? That's not God. I want to share a passage of scripture with you. It's out of the book of Hebrews. And it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through Him He made the universe. Pretty big stuff. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by the powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so, and just kind of thinking through that scripture for a moment, I just want to just kind of put this out there. Who is God? Who is God, and how in the world are we supposed to wrap our arms around who He really is and who He wants us to know Him to be? This passage of Scripture leads us into understanding something that's very, very important. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers, this is verse 1, through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in the last days, verse 2, check this out, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. You see, God revealed Himself to us. You know, a lot of us, you know, say, you know, Chris, I want God to just really show me something. I really want God to just really show me something. I really want Him to do something in my life to just show me that I'm on the right path or that I'm doing the right thing or I'm doing the wrong thing. God, I just really want Him to show me something, Chris. Come on. And He already has. It doesn't mean that God's not going to speak to your heart about certain things, but I'm just going to tell you what, He's probably not going to be as apt to speak to your heart about certain things until you are seeking after Him with all of your heart. And how we do that is right here. You see, we've gotten into this state, and this is a culture thing. We've gotten to this place in our lives where we have started figuring out who we think God is based upon our experiences. We think that we've figured out God because of things that we've been through and the circumstances that we're in. And I'm not trying to belittle the circumstances or the things that you've been through. Some of you have been through some pretty rough junk. But that is not what we base who God is on. Who we base what God is and who God is right here. And in this passage of Scripture, we see Jesus was the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. You want to know God, then know Jesus. I mean, that's it. Put it in a nutshell, that is it. If you want to know God, then know Jesus. But you see, for so many of us, we've got these other misconceptions that are just, I mean, they're clouding the junk out of us right now. And let me just kind of throw this out there to you. We see something in Scripture here, and we're going to study this here in just a few minutes, and that's that God does show Himself to be something specific, even outside of Jesus, but through Jesus He does it. It's an amazing thing. He shows Himself to be a father. He shows Himself to be a dad. A tangible, lovable, huggable, able to talk to Him, able to have a relationship with Him, father. You think Satan is stupid to that? Absolutely not. Some of us in here in this room this morning have got some of the worst relationships in the world with our fathers. Do you think that's by accident? No. It's because Satan is at work to try to screw up your relationship with God. He understands that if your relationship with your earthly father is that intense, that your relationship with your heavenly father is going to be a real struggle for you. And some of us in here, and I've got a great father, but I have sat with so many people that have got some of the crappiest fathers. And I'm sorry for that, but I just want you to know that that's not God's fault. That your dad has acted that way or that that has gone that way. And if anybody is to blame, then Satan is at work and he wants to keep you from getting close to your relationship with the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. The exact representation of His being. Talking about Jesus, continuing here, it says, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand, the majesty in heaven. And right there, we've got the most amazing thing that ever happens. And that's Christ coming and dying for each and every one of us. If you flip over to the book of Galatians chapter 4 shows us some great things about who God is. And it says in verse 4, chapter 4, "But when the time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father,' so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir." Why all this talk about the Son? What's so important about it? There's a lot of things, and I'm just going to tell you, we're going to try our best to do like what we feel like are going to be the things that are hopefully going to help us all as a church and as individuals just in growing in our relationship with the Lord. There are so many things about God that we could teach about. I mean, we literally could do a year-long series. We could do 52 weeks without any problems on who God is. There's no problem with doing that. We're not going to do that. We're going to take some of the biggest stuff, but there's one thing that we've got to just come to today before we can get any further with this. And that's that if we've got a bad misconception of who God is, that we need to try to overcome that. And if there is any one thing that you can know about God today, and that is the important thing, that He is a Father. He didn't have to send a son. Why did He send a son? He sent a son to show us He wanted to have a relationship with us. A real relationship. Not some junky thing that maybe you've seen like what you've seen in an earthly father or something like that. I'm talking about the real deal. That's what God wants with us. And that's the reasoning for a son. That's the reasoning for this sacrifice. And this sacrifice is through Jesus Christ, we can have a relationship with God. In verse 5, it says, to redeem those under the law, Christ came. Why? You see, you and I were under a law. But when Christ came, we were no longer under a law, and Christ freed us through knowing Him. Because we can't keep the law. You and I can't keep the Ten Commandments. People say, oh, you know, you got to follow. You know, what's being a good Christian? You got to follow the Ten Commandments. That's a good place to start. Let's follow the Ten Commandments. Well, yeah, that's a good thing to try to do, is to try to follow the Ten Commandments. Anybody just by chance in here today, be real careful before you answer this by raising your hand. Anybody in here today followed the Ten Commandments so far in life? Anybody been able to, like, keep them and not break any of them? Anybody? I would really like to meet you if you're here. Please, please let there be just one. Jesus has not come back today. Okay. All right. You know, and that's just it. We can't do that on our own. There's no possible way. Christ came so that we, under the law, would have salvation, that we could know Jesus Christ. And our misconceptions about God are doing some crazy things to us today. And these misconceptions are basically leading us into worshiping something that's not true. And so if we're trying to grow as Christians, if we're trying to gain a better relationship with God, but we have a misconception about God, I mean, where does that leave us with our relationship with God? It's not much of a relationship at all. You like movie stars? You got a movie star or a sports character or whatever. I don't guess you call them characters, but whatever you call them. You know, you have somebody that's maybe famous that you think about a lot, and you're like, oh, gosh, they're just the deal, and I just love them, and, oh, I wish I could marry them. I know this girl that loves Kenny Chesney, and I mean, she is, like, all about Kenny Chesney. She's married and the whole bit, and the whole deal with the Kenny Chesney thing is, like, she's got the phone ring on him, and, you know, the whole bit, and, like, her computer desktop at work's got Kenny Chesney, and one day I was like, you know, you know, what's going on with Kenny Chesney here? And she's like, oh, I just love Kenny Chesney. I just love him. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, really? Well, you know, what's your husband think about that? Oh, he knows. I was like, well, okay. Good for him. I hope he thinks your tractor is sexy. We have these people that are images to us. And we think that we know them because we've seen them on a reality show or we've, you know, watched them perform or whatever. We don't know them. We don't know them. They don't know us. We don't have a relationship with them. And our relationship with God oftentimes looks about as good as our relationship with that person that we think that we idolize and, you know, that we think we really like. Oh, I know all about them. I know their birthday and I know, you know, whatever. That's not knowing them. There are atheists that know about God. There's some atheists that have a better conception of God than some Christians do. God wants to know us. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to grow in a relationship with Him. I mean, it's like the most important thing that you'll ever figure out in your life. At the same time, it's like the most challenging thing that you will ever try to do in your life is growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is why. The evil one is constantly fighting against anything that God is about. This morning you're saying, you know, it's hard for me to get to church because of this. It's not hard for you to get to church because of that. It's not hard for you to read your Bible because you're tired. It's hard because Satan is doing a great job at winning us over. And we've got to recognize that. We've got to recognize that in our families and in our relationships. We've got to recognize that in our church. When you start hearing people talk bad about somebody else, gossip, hello, shut them down. Put the hammer on them. You ever had anybody when you're like, hey, did you hear about this person? You ever have anybody go, I don't think we should talk about them. What do you feel like when you do that? terrible. Hello? We've got to keep each other accountable. It's our job. It's our duty. It's something that we've been called to do, and it's a further glorifying of who God is through us when we shut Satan down. You say, well, Chris, okay, you've given us a whole lot about who God is not today. We've seen scripture that obviously points to the fact that God revealed himself through Jesus and through his word. And we've got that, and we've got that down, and we understand, okay, you know, my experiences have been one of those things that have really affected my view of who God is. And now I'm kind of beginning to understand this morning, okay, my experiences don't need to dictate who God is. Scripture needs to dictate who God is. And I've just got to work a little harder at that, and that's cool. I'm ready to do that. I'm down with that. So, you know, I got that he's a father, and he wants to have a relationship with me, and he's maybe not like the father that I know here on earth. In fact, he's probably not like any of our fathers, even as good as most of our fathers might be. So, who is God? He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the Prince of Peace. He is majesty. He is the Creator. He is the Ruler. He is the Redeemer. He is our salvation. He is everything and even more of anything that we could ever imagine God to have ever been. And this morning, that just kind of leaves us in a spot of just kind of going, well, Chris, I really want to know. I really want to know God more. I really want to grow in him. I want to gain knowledge about him. I want to be close to him. And if that is where you are at, that is a great place to be this morning. And I just want to encourage you to do this. Don't stop searching for God. Don't be afraid to ask hard questions. Don't be afraid to study Scripture and let God reveal himself to you. But furthermore, here in the next several weeks, what our home teams are going to be doing in the next several months is every bit of it is all about trying to know God better. And I just want you to know that this has been my heart, this has been the staff's heart, the leadership of our church, this has been our heart, that we as a church would just like break from everything else that we were doing. We spent 3 weeks kind of getting ready for this to happen. And the heart behind every bit of it was just that we just want as a church for us just to kind of go, you know what, God, we just want to know you. Because we don't want to have a misconception about you. We don't want to have, you know, our generation's view about you. We just want to be scriptural. We want to have a dead on, as close as we can possibly get to just knowing who you are, God. And I hope you're with me on that. And I just want you to know, I think that this is probably going to be the biggest thing that has ever happened to our church. I don't even know how to explain how I expect it to be big, but I just know in my heart, God does not speak to me about something this long and this